Fear has no place within a civilized mind. If we just close our eyes and we think about this statement and we think about the structure of energy around this statement, when the mind is consumed with limitation, the energy of, I don't think I can do this. I shouldn't do this. Why would I do that? I don't have the confidence. Who am I? All of these questions are fear-based. They're in that arena, right, of fear. When you remove the fear, the mind knows its freedom.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by the Going North Advancement Compass, available now on Amazon.com. It is an interactive journal for you to track your personal growth, track your goals, track your wins, and help you advance north to your next level of success. So pick it up today and get growing. Now let's get on with today's episode. Connect to those who are on the path of awareness and of positivity, and to those who are willing to study and apply the foundational work to get there. And today's wonderful guest did just that, because she's a best-selling author, ambassador of life empowerment, new thought creator, keynote speaker, and a life transformation empowerment coach. Let's give it up for Miss L Double B herself, the one, the only Laura Brennan Bellet. How you doing today, Laura?
Woo! I am doing fabulous. Fabulous.
Oh, yeah. She's so fabulous. She had to say it twice, y'all. That's right, yeah. Indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right. Get ready for some Pilates, some yoga, some twirls, some figure eights, all the ballet. That's right, indeed. You can put on the figure skates if you want, or the rollerblades, whichever one you prefer.
Oh, God. You just named off like a bunch of stuff that I've done all my life. So it's cool. It's all going on.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Who knows? Sometimes it ain't always ballet. Sometimes interpretive dance, and I probably forgot a whole bunch of metaphorical moves in the life of Laura. So am I filling in any cavities on how you became the lady that you are today?
That's a loaded question there, Dom, isn't it? Loaded question. Well, yeah. When I was about 14 years old, I went to my mom and said, I'm going to write a book one day and I'm going to change the world, right? Like all kids. We just have not been so shielded that we forgot that genius part of us, right? So, of course, had a cool mom. She said, good, go for it. Why you wait until you're 14, you know, until you're older? Like, you're 14, do it now. But life got in the way and decades got in the way. And my brother, I always give a heart out shout to him, because he really inspired me to write The Science of Empowerment. He created the J3 equals E formula, which we may or may not touch upon, but such a cool brother and sister collaborative journey. And I really wanted to create a place in life that people could go and they could remember how cool they are, how beautiful and genius and smart and talented, and just a place where they could kick back, read a few words, right? What I call the written energy, and then let that thought energy really get ignited and then start to create a very cool life.
There you go. Cooler than three cucumbers. That's right. A cool life indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. All the produce, y'all. That's right. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, a courtesy of your bro and basically taking it and running with it. So what led to that, you writing the book, expanding on it? What did your brother just create and was like, I got too much time I can't use to write a book. You go ahead and write a sis. How'd that work out?
No. So we call each other brother and sister. It's never Christopher or Laura. Everywhere, our whole life. We don't know why, but we've always done this. But no, he's a former USA gymnastics coach. So he's always been in the mindset environment, even before it was like the cool in sexy thing to do. And we just always had these very unique, in-depth, philosophical, right? Almost transcendental conversations our whole life. We just always went beyond what was just a face value, just the status quo. We believed we were superheroes. We believed we had superpowers. And even though we're regular kids, we always felt that we had something unique, that if we could tap into it, we just might be able to help shift the world a little bit better than how we found it. And so he worked on this very unique formula that was really based off of his neuromuscular training program. And then when he moved in and retired from that world and came back home, he opened up another facility here in Connecticut. And he, you know, was working it one-on-one, and I started to listen and watch and think and feel and kind of tap into it. And I said, what would this formula feel like for regular day people like me? Just a wife, a mom, working, you know, tending the house, the garden, whatever it may be. Not just, but you know, like I wasn't like I was rocking the world doing anything, you know, big, at least not in my eyes at that time. And so I said, let me try this with my clients that I was coaching, physically coaching at the beginning. And I started working the formula, working the principles, working the awareness to quantum fields of energy, working on thought energy, how we can certainly rewire the mindset, but really recalibrate our personalities so we can release all this outdated, almost unnecessary patterns and really kind of step into something that's just purposeful and beautiful and strong and empowered. So I started doing it and I started getting feedback. And then all of a sudden, everybody started saying, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. You need to get what is in here in your mind out for the world. And then, of course, my brother and my family were all, write the book, sister, write the book. My mom, every day, write the book. And then finally, I'm like, okay, the heck with you all. Just leave me alone. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to start to write the book. And just a mere 5 years later, the science of empowerment was really born from that part of me when I was a kid that knew what I knew. But then as I went through life the way we all do, and a lot of it got buried or hidden or tucked away, this really was that igniter for me, like, write the book. There's something here. And so my brother just said, take the formula and let it just sit and seed in your mind and see what happens and go for it. And so the formula I took from my brother with his blessings. And then I started to sit down and write, and this information literally just poured into me and out through the keyboard. And the book was born, and of course, coaching and speaking and everything that came out of it. But it's the beauty of the written word, which I consider written energy, and how it really can have positive effect and causation on the reader.
You love to see it. Yeah, well, you said a seed of an idea. Is that why the book is green? Is green your favorite color?
And, you know, when you just picked up on that, which I just love the synergy here, my children's book that I'm working on has that exact word in the title. I'm not going to give anything else away, but yeah, it's the seed. It's the nourishment. It's the growth. It's the earth. It's really just, again, that bountiful energy that is all in us. But we just, for some reason, we just acquiesce and we dim the light, or we, you know, neglect the potential, or we question the confidence. And really, the science of empowerment is a book that there's nothing about me in the book. It is all you, the reader. When you read it, you're just like, I know that, I feel that. Well, what does that mean? Well, oh, what was she saying right there? But it isn't, you know, do what I say, follow this, you know, specific structural information, and boom, your life will change. This is about, hello, gently wake up. You're in there. You are in there. And I'm a firm believer. I wrote about it in The Science of Empowerment that there is no junk DNA. Thank goodness science is now starting to say that. But there is no junk DNA. It is untapped, pure essence. You want to call God essence, universal essence, consciousness. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever your particular train of transportation is, get on it and ride it like the wind.
There you go. So a children's book too, huh? All right. Okay, there you go.
And I also have an anti-bullying book that I'm working on. Yep. Using the formula, creating this trilogy. But the formula is so strong and so empowering and transformational that I just feel this need to like keep getting it out there. And it's very simple. And this is the beauty and the power of the formula, the J3 equals A. It changes everything for the better.
No. Okay. All right. There we go. There we go. Indeed. So my goodness, what's your educational background in? Because when you go through the book, it's like, it ain't your average book. It's like, you got to be in the right mind frame for it. You can't just be like, all right, I'm going to read this before I go to sleep. It's like, no, you got to have a awake brain to consume the concept.
Yeah. So you're going to love the answer to this and in full transparency, and has nothing to do with an egoic energy. This is really embracing my vulnerability. I graduated high school and decided not to go to university and create businesses. I had an interior decorating business. I was a very high-end real estate stager. I always had lots of creativity. And I was like, oh, someday I'll go back. Someday I'll really figure out which branch of the educational academic system that I would really want to put my efforts into. As I started to grow and develop and evolve, I started to understand that, why am I reading someone else's material? For where I am in my life, obviously you want to be a doctor or an architect, an engineer. There's very specific vocations where you do need a structured boundary style of education. For me, I always was able to tap into something that I look at the quantum field of potential. There's always this something in there. I just did a podcast a few weeks ago and the gentleman said, I'm so sorry, I forgot to mention your doctorates. And we started laughing because I looked at him and he could tell. And I said, no, this is a regular human being that decided to tap into the highest level of personal potential in order to activate collective elevation. It really was a driving force to educate through books. I study a lot of ancient civilizations. I am a true believer that when we go into the past, all the way back to Anunnaki and Sumerian and the Egyptian days, you really can go in, as well as a lot of education in the Bible, not all of it, but a lot. When you can start to look at, again, written energy and start to formulate where the similarities are, now you get to see this algorithm of the possibility of truth. And that's really where I've gained a lot of my personal knowledge. I read, I study, and I listen to people who are so much more brilliant than I am. And I look for the collective energy of what they're all saying. And then I pull that in and I start researching it myself.
All right, there you go. Sorry, indeed. So she's got the self-doctorate from all the reading and studying she's been doing. That's right, indeed. She got that black belt, that self-taught black belt energy. That's right, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. I love that you mentioned collective elevation. So I guess part of elevation is where coaching comes in. So what would you consider one of your biggest lessons learned from one of your clients that upped your game as a coach?
This is a great question. Thank you. Yes, I had a woman that I was training physically, again, neuromuscular training, and had a beautiful friendship and relationship. And, you know, it's kind of how you come in, you work out and you coach and everything is like really physical. And then as you spend more time together, you start to really build that trust and that connection, and you start to share life. And as she started to share much of what was very challenging for her, we decided to start coaching. And she was actually one of my first Science of Empowerment coaching clients. And it was a very organic, very natural unfolding how it all came to be. And she was expressing a lot of negativity towards and about her husband. And they were on the verge of divorce and really almost all but had parted. And I looked at her and I said, I'm just going to ask you something very simple. Have you ever thought of what he is going through from when he wakes up to when he goes to bed? Any idea how his mindset works? Maybe what's in his heart, maybe the parts of him that weren't healed, maybe the parts of him that he has to bury. Have you ever thought about it? Not even asked, not even conversed, just thought about it. And she just started crying. And she said, no, I haven't. And I said, are you willing to go home and ask him? And she said, yes. We cut that day short. She went home. And from that moment on, they've had a complete different relationship because our expectations of what one another should be doing for one another, all of the outside influences, coulda, shoulda, woulda. And I just said, no, talk to him, because what it did was it allowed her to put her anger and her walls down and actually listen to this other human being that she occupies the same cage with. And it just shifted everything. And this was many years ago. And I still, from time to time, she comes back and we coach and we have fun. But that part of her life is really quite nice now. So that moment when, you know, after a few weeks of them talking and we were in touch, but there was a moment when she reached out and said, you know, can we have a cup of tea together? And she just said, everything has shifted in that moment when you actually brought that opportunity to me to think about him and not me. It shifted everything for her. And so it just brought this beautiful kind of alignment that I was on the right pathway for myself, that even though decades ago as a young girl, I always thought I would do something that would help, right, the masses or the collective or even just one person. When that happened, it was a real human to human exchange of connection and of advancement that I knew I could then be in service to other people. So it was a really beautiful moment for me to reflect that what I was feeling internally was something that mattered to me, but that I felt destined to do. It wasn't based on ego, like, oh, I want to be a rock star and a supermodel and I want everyone to look at me. These are very one-on-one, intimate conversations, really supporting someone to experience an empowered life. And when you see that they do, there's nothing like it in the world. The feeling is amazing.
There you go with the whole labyrinth. You're all amazing. That's what I'm talking about. Indeed. That's right, indeed. Hashtag awareness on display. Y'all, that's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. She's like, shoot. Client got their money's worth in that session alone, sounds like, indeed. It's like, we don't even need to do the whole freaking allotted time. Like, post haste. Repair this relationship now.
And that's something I'm kind of known for. I used to call myself a baby bulldozer. And lots of people that are very close to me, when they listen to this, they'll know. But I don't believe in sitting in the quagmire too long. First session in, I'm like, this is your place. Kick, scream, cry, do what you got to do. This is your sacred space. Get it out energetically. Move it out of the physical body so that we can begin to create space emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And I really believe that we must honor our past. There has to be high regard even for the worst of the worst that we've been through, right? It is an aspect of our human experience. But then I believe there comes a moment where you can empower the release. And then when you do that, it honestly frees up such space in the mind so that you can be receptive to information that you can then apply as learned knowledge and really be the creator of all of what you are, for me, meant to become, destined to become by your choosing. But I think when we hold on too much to the past, and we all know this, right? This is Psych 101, behavioral science, cognitive science. We all understand this. This is really about taking energy and looking at it through thought as if the energy itself has a structure. And anyone can do this. You know, you can do it. You want to put a number to it. You want to put a symbol to it. You want to put a verse from the Bible. You want to grab some Egyptian god symbol. It doesn't matter. There is a structure to all thought. And when we begin to really advance in how we think about our thought process, this is when we start to hone in on that awareness where we can actually awaken to, wow, I'm really carrying a weight within that thought process. And it is absolutely only serving the past. And there is no way I can ever create a future because in the present moment, I'm still hanging on to the past. And so the present just becomes the repeat of the past and the future becomes the repeat of the present. And so it's just this cyclical pattern that we don't understand, that we really trap ourselves in. We lock ourselves in the cage and throw the key outside. So I really am that style coach and speaker. Probably can hear, I get passionate in my voice, like, come on. You are amazing. Don't close your eyes and take that last breath with anything left inside of you, but the curiosity of transitioning out of physicality, but not any questions related to the human experience.
Yeah, that human experience indeed. That's what I'm talking about indeed. Well, speaking of human experience and empowerment, I'm pretty sure you probably had some setbacks along the way, especially in life or in business. So is there any major setback that sticks out to you that actually was a setup for more success for you?
I think every day creates just minor setbacks. And it could come from a discussion with our, you know, husband, wife, our partner. It could come from the moment you walk into your work environment and someone's got some bad juju and it comes towards you, right? Raising children. Oh boy, we can go in a whole nother path there. Financial challenges, right? Political, educational. I mean, we all are really starting to understand how unsettled we truly feel at our core from outside influences. So this is where I put my knowledge and my writings to the test. I do not speak only of the science of empowerment. It is in my cells. It is embedded in my biology. I live this way. So if and when there is a specific setback, I run through the J3 equals E. In minutes, I am right back into an empowered life. So yes to the setbacks, but I don't hang there too long.
Yeah, there you go. So it's like, oh, they just happened. Like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, kind of. They happen, and sometimes they can bring you to your knees. They really can. And then what? So you're down on your knees. Now what? Now what? No one can come and, let me rephrase this. Somebody, of course, can come and lift you. Many, many things can lift you, but then you got to stand. And then when that lifting is removed, then you're still on your own. My mother said this to me when I turned 17, she shared a book with me and we talked about some stuff. And she said, you came into this world alone and you will exit this world alone. Be strong. Know that. You have that in you. Now, of course, she carried me. Doctors helped bring me into the world. Nurses cared for me. We all understand that. But she was talking about this very, deep understanding that the consciousness or the spirit travels truly, right, at the root on our own. And maybe someday we connect with that God force and that beautiful oneness, and then it doesn't matter at that point because it's all consuming. But from now till then, when we are brought back down to our knees or a brick wall falls on us, all of the analogies we can use, it really begins with a thought within the mind. How am I going to get up? How am I going to recalibrate, redesign, re-engineer this particular moment that actually hooked me into negativity? No one is really going to be able to say or do something that's going to shift it the way that I know I can, because we are all equipped with it. We just forgot we were. And so for me, I've spent a lot of time reconnecting to that part of my brilliance and my genius to know that I've got it, whatever it may be in the moment. So yeah, it's kind of like, oh, okay, slip down, there I am, brush it off, carry on. And so that's kind of how I live my life. Doesn't mean I don't cry, doesn't mean I don't get vulnerable, doesn't mean I don't have challenges. Of course I do. I'm married and I have two girls in their 20s. I definitely have challenges, but I have a skill set. I have mechanisms. I educate. I read. I am creating what I call the living library, right? This internal living library of information. I go outside to points of connection that help reinforce what I know is already internalized. But we need that because we live with ego and we live in the human condition. So, you know, though I believe we have the God energy within all of us, right? We are here in the physicality to really learn that process again, to come back to that oneness.
Yes, right. Dude, that oneness, dude, you love to see it. You love to see it. So my goodness, you mentioned you got a kiddos book, or should I say a book for the kiddos coming out in the future. Is there anything else you're excited about over the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, I really am. I'm starting to move in the speaking world more than I was before, right? Because you write a book and then you decide, okay, people want to be coached on the book and that's amazing. And then as you get coaching, then people want to interview you. I'm having the best time on my podcast journey. I meet the most incredibly cool people. Shout out to Don Bright, Don Com. And I love when there is receptivity. And so when you begin to speak, whether it's virtual, of course, it's not the same as a in-person speaking engagement, but I was just in Costa Rica at a speaking engagement. And when people show up to hear, to listen, to learn, to open the sensory systems, to advance their own experiences, not what I'm saying, but just taking the knowledge and then recalibrating it, right, to fit into what they need. And then they come up to you and they talk to you and you start to exchange. It's just, again, it's empowering. And people who do what I do out in the world know that this is not an egoic statement. The ego has nothing to do with it. It is this sheer exchange of energy where you start to see one another. There is no color. There is no judgment. Consciousness knows no color or judgment. It really doesn't. It just sees your greatness. And when you can reflect between two humans, that awareness, it shifts everything. So I really am actively now starting to attract people that are asking me to produce a TED Talk, to start going on stages, and really moving in that direction. I'm co-collaborating a beautiful book, and it's really all around how to empower the grief process. I helped a friend of mine. She lost both her parents. She's only in her early 30s, pretty much back to back. And out of friendship, it naturally, of course, was just this beautiful, authentic coaching style of conversations we would have. And all of a sudden, one day, we were like, let's write a book on this, because it really helped elevate her grief process. It showed her that movement away from the heaviness and how we can use gratitude and resilience and inspiration and forgiveness and empowerment to really move when we're dealing with loss. And whether it's loss of a marriage, one of my mother's dearest friends just lost her granddaughter. I've been talking to her. And it may seem a bit strange to think about empowering loss or grief, but when you start moving through the process of it, it really does become a very natural connection. You realize that I don't want to sit in this room in the dark with no food. I haven't showered in 3 days. I can't get to work. I'm neglecting my family or my kids or the pet, whatever it may be. I'm totally disconnected. And that person that just transitioned absolutely would not want that for you. They would want you certainly to carry them in your heart, but to re-engage and celebrate all of the beauty and the very best of what they brought into that human condition. And not everyone has that experience, I understand that. We certainly lose people that were not kind to us. Many of us have gone through a lot of childhood trauma. So I'm not saying, you know, your grandfather was an alcoholic and abused you and he passes, for you to all of a sudden welcome him into your heart and now become this empowered being. Of course, it is just more that you can empower the process of grieving differently than what is kind of the status quo at the moment. So I'm collaborating on that. I'm also collaborating with the very world famous 365 Abundance Books. That's just a great place for entrepreneurs and authors to have a page and share just a moment of, you know, tapping into the brilliance of the reader and reminding them as they're reading, just again, how amazing we all are in our own unique way. And so every opportunity I get to share, to speak, to exchange energy and hopefully leave a person or the listening audience with a bit of a better feeling, a more elevated feeling, maybe the opportunity to tap into something that they never thought about, and certainly at least to spark a new perspective of how they may look at empowerment for themselves and then the people closest to them. So I'm just going to continue to talk about the science of empowerment.
There you go. That's right indeed. Help folks get those mental six-pack abs, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Mm-hmm. Feel all the power, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Might have to have you and your co-author back on the show when the book comes out. Indeed. That's right indeed. Because, hey, grief is major these days. And it's from all age ranges, too. So, yeah. It's a apropos topic that folks probably won't avoid, but you can't avoid it.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, it's so funny because I wanted to write the children's book first and then the anti-bullying book and then the full science of empowerment. But then as I started to talking to leadership around the world, you know, I realized that the grown-ups in the room needed maybe the science of empowerment first, because I know in my family, we do not ask something that we are unwilling to do ourselves. So how could I go to my kids and expect them to tap into some part of them if I myself am not doing that? So it really was this kind of unique position as an author to say, really, where is my audience at the moment? And as you had shared, this is not an easy breezy read. It is a self-thinking person's book. This is really about tapping into self-actualization and really moving beyond what you've always known, stretching, right, that limited mindset and fully embracing the possibilities of what can be. And then once you start using that language and moving through the formula and kind of this awareness to the energies, negative, positive, neutral, and which one are you, and how this relates to the family dynamics. Now we can start to bring in that children's book and that anti-bullying book. So now the family dynamics is truly empowered and elevated.
Yeah, elevated indeed, elevated indeed. So what you learned about yourself through getting through publishing your first book?
Ooh, yeah. To trust that other people respect your work as much as you do, and that nothing will ever quite be what you thought it was, and who you connect with in the beginning is not necessarily who will stay with you throughout the journey, and that is okay. And to believe in yourself, that you have value and that your words do matter and that they can support and help transform other people when they do read your material. And everyone does have a story inside of them. So if you're thinking of writing a book or even collaborating with someone, please do. It is an absolute beautiful, empowering process to sit and to write and allow those universal kind of currents of energy to move through you and produce something that can change lives.
There you go, change lives indeed. That's right, change lives indeed. So my goodness, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often when you're doing these podcasts?
I don't have a specific question that comes to mind because there are several tens of podcasts I've done where a lot of questions have come up. So I don't think there's anything particular. I think whatever the podcast host is feeling, whether it's from their own mindset or that nudge right in their gut, their instinct, or certainly a heartfelt question. But I feel that this beautiful organic exchange fills up the listeners and they each will get what they needed to get. But I'm open to any question, but no, I don't think there's a specific question. It all seems to just flow the way it's supposed to.
Ah, good deal. Well, fun question for you. If your fabulous book, The Science of Empowerment, Negative, Positive, Neutral, which one are you? If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Ooh, oh, that's a cool question. All right, so I'm going to go with one of my all-time favorite dishes, and that is eggplant parmesan. And I believe that the reason why that's coming to my mind is there are layers of goodness, right? You have to have the sauce, the marinara from the fresh tomatoes. They have to be skinned and deseeded so it's pure. You have to have the best picked garden eggplant. You have to have just the right style of cheese for your liking. You have to have the right ingredients. But boy, when it's bubbling out of the oven and you sit down to have that eggplant parm, there's layers. And all those layers, right, they spark something in you. It could be tradition. It could be the love of food. It could be when I traveled to Cefalù, Italy with my husband. There's just so much there. So I'm going to say eggplant parm.
There you go. That's right, indeed. That's right. That's why we always got to keep a plan in the audience for a reason, y'all. That's right, indeed.
I love that question. That's such a great question, right? Because if you ask, like, what favorite drink would it be? Not everybody drinks, or someone like me who doesn't drink often, but I would know what I would say there. But the food, because I'm a foodie, I pretty much love everything. But eggplant parm came to me. I love that question.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the other four senses usually engage with books, but never the taste.
Right. Isn't that funny? I think because I encompass energy the way I do, it all feels the same to me. You know, it's all energy. And so I do look at it aesthetic, you know, visual energy, how you design your home, the kind of car you drive, the clothes you wear, the food you eat, the books you read, the books you write. I always am looking at it from that vantage point of energetic structure and how will this resonate and vibrate out into the world. So I think the same. My husband was a chef in his own restaurant. So food's a big deal for us. So we love food. So again, I love that question. Beautiful.
So no wonder you're a foodie.
It's been around my whole life. He's actually now out of the restaurant business, but my brother and I were raised, we lived on the grounds of a country club that my parents ran from my father's business. And my mom ran the entire country club, the restaurant, all the weddings. So we were in the kitchens our whole life. My mother's a phenomenal cook. We love food. We love food as much as we love knowledge.
Indeed, food for the mind for a reason. You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it indeed. Heck, speaking of food for the mind, heck, even one of my favorite underlines from your book. Any expansion on this magical statement that fear has no place within a civilized mind?
Yeah, I love this. I had a feeling that, and I have many hosts that read the book and have different thoughts and whatever, but I had a feeling with you when I was listening to your podcasts with other hosts. I said, I bet you if he has the opportunity, he's going to pick this one. Fear has no place within a civilized mind. If we just close our eyes and we think about this statement and we think about the structure of energy around this statement, I would like to really posit the question to the audience. Why would you think that fear has no place within a civilized mind? I can answer this 10 different ways, but it is a energetic block that keeps us from our greatness. When the mind is consumed with limitation, the energy of, I don't think I can do this, I shouldn't do this, why would I do that? I don't have the confidence. Who am I? All of these questions are fear-based. They're in that arena, right, of fear. When you remove the fear, the mind knows its freedom. Everything is possible.
Yeah, knows its freedom indeed. It's right indeed. It's right indeed. Free indeed. You'll love to see it. It's right indeed. You'll love to feel it too.
Yeah, we all know what that feels like.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you're to wake up tomorrow and you are 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Ooh, put down social media and educate yourself.
There you go. That's right indeed. Put down that S&M, y'all. Put it down. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Unless you're marketing your business. Or better yet, if you got somebody doing it for you.
Yes. But of course, we don't mean social media when it's in the lane of positivity and kindness and elevation. Of course, we all, that's a given. We all are in that. Again, we're riding that train, right? We're on it. This is really for the destruction of what it has caused. It's the mechanism and the algorithms that are behind the negative push of what we know is not kind and not good. It isn't created for the collective wellness of our global family. So I would say to my 25-year-old self, put it down, because you have all the answers that will lead you to what else you may need to know, but you know it. It's in each and every one of us. I know I keep saying this, but it really is. And if there's someone out there listening that has a bit of doubt around this, I'm going to ask them to suspend the doubt and move into what you can create as an empowered life. Have fun with it. Put the doubt aside, put the fear aside, and just start moving through your day as if you were. And then start to fill in those blanks. I am empowered. I am kindness. I am brilliant. I am successful. I am wellness. Really start. And I don't mean this like an affirmation, though affirmations are beautiful. I mean, own it, authorize it, own the authorship of your greatness and let no one sideline you. And remember, fear has no place within a civilized mind. We're all going back now to some point. We've just got back to if we're in our 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s and beyond, or even if we're 25 and we can go back to when we were 15, what would you tell yourself? We already can see the genius because we have this ability to look back, to reflect, and to know, oh, I wouldn't do that again. That's where the genius and the magic is. So rather than spend another decade looking back and just observing what you maybe shouldn't have done, get ahead of it. Now, go forward, look back at what you know you don't want to look back at, and redesign your present and your future. So when you do take a look back, and I write about this, I have a quote on this, use your look back to propel you forward. And when you do this enough times and you study the discipline and you master the knowledge of knowing that, you don't look back anymore. It's all a forward motion, all of it. Other than happy memories, you know, and photos and things of that nature. But hopefully the listening audience is brilliant and they're not taking everything so literal. They're taking it in this expansive opportunity way of thinking a bit differently than they did at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, if all the listeners are taking all the stuff I say literally, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah, that's true.
They'd probably be in the North Pole somewhere with a lampshade over their head trying to start a book club of penguins.
I love that. That's fabulous.
That's right, the science of empowerment, baby. We're empowering these penguins. And they're not in Pittsburgh either. Sorry, indeed. But it don't matter where you are. Folks need to connect with the lovely Laura herself. So for those who need to do just that and cap some copies of your magical book, what's the best way for folks to do so?
Thank you. Thank you for sharing the knowledge. Yes, www.thescienceofempowerment.com. There is a copious amount of knowledge. Even if you don't coach, you don't buy the book, just go enjoy. There's blogs, there's articles, there's a media page. There's so much information that can help support you in elevating and empowering your life. And certainly LinkedIn. I'm all over LinkedIn. And go to Amazon, The Science of Empowerment. Please purchase the book and share it. It really will begin to transform your mindset and help you see that new perspectives and potential is just right there waiting for you.
Woohoo! Well, you heard the lovely lady herself. Potential's waiting for you all. That's right indeed. And the good thing about potential, it's freaking limitless, all. You don't know how much potential you have. Tap into it. See how far you can go and grow. And Laura's going to help you do that. She's got green all over her website for a reason, y'all. Helping you to grow like a metaphorical, giant, wonderful tree, giving positive shade to folks when it's hot outside, y'all. So tap into what Laura's doing. Check it out. See how much growth awaits indeed. Well, any parting words before we close up shop?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you. It was an absolute pleasure having some time with you, right, in this lifetime, and just the opportunity to tap into potential, possibility, and I would say fun. Have fun with empowering your life, everybody. You know, there's enough going on out in the world. Right? Take it out of your heart. Take it out of your mind. Let your body loose a little bit. Be a little kinder to yourself and one another and just have fun. I don't know where everybody is in the world, but it's summertime here in the USA. And boy, put some shades on, put your toes in the ocean, maybe have a cool cocktail and just be with family and friends and really try to not let fear override your personal power.
If you're listening to this, that means you're one cool individual. If you want to be cooler than two cucumbers, share this episode with someone that you think will enjoy it too. And be sure to subscribe and keep being